We're looking at provisions put forth by Assembly Republicans last week to combat the spread of COVID and the economic fallout. It is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The written plan of dozens of proposals comes weeks after Governor Evers released his own pandemic-related legislation. Ahead of his plan, Voss discussed the pandemic response 8 days ago on Spectrum News' In Focus.
We need to make sure our economy remains open. So I do not support additional lockdowns or kind of more draconian measures like we're seeing in a few cities. Dane County has made it almost impossible to operate your business.
How do you want state lawmakers to address the COVID crisis? How have they done so far? It's 800-642-1234. Patrick Marley is a state politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's covered state politics since 2004. Patrick, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. So Assembly Speaker Voss releases a package last Tuesday saying it builds off of Governor Evers' most recent proposals, creates a roadmap for COVID going forward. Set us up with what's going on between the governor and the legislature.
Yeah, as throughout this pandemic, they're not really agreeing on much of anything. For a long time, Evers was saying he needed more money for COVID-19. The Republicans didn't want to meet. They were not liking his ideas, but not offering a counter proposal. So I suppose you have a positive development here in that Republicans from both houses have put forward different plans on what to do with COVID-19. But, you know, the governor doesn't like them. The Republicans in the two houses don't like each other's plans. And so we remain at an impasse.
So do Assembly Republicans' ideas have any chance of advancing? Will the legislature convene this month?
I would say it looks very unlikely that they'll convene this month, but you never really know what's going to happen, especially when we have federal money that's going to run out at the end of the year. And so then we're going to be in a very serious crunch with how to deal with testing, for instance. And so there's nothing like a financial crisis to make lawmakers who appear to be in, you know, totally opposite corners to get together. So I suppose it's within the realm of possibility that something would happen here. But at the moment, they sure don't appear like they're going to in any way find a compromise or a way to address this that they can all come together on.
So Voss in a statement said Republicans are ready to take action this month on a bipartisan plan. What is happening in the state Senate?
So the state Senate wants to go a different route. They definitely don't want to meet. What they would rather do is have Evers put together a plan that's more modest than what he's proposed before of how to sort of get through the early stages of 2021, present that to the state's budget committee, which is 16 members of the legislature, and then have the committee sign off on that or modify it and approve it. Evers has not shown much interest in that so far, but again, that would be a way to get some kind of money in a stopgap way addressed. But the assembly wants to do this full-fledged, you know, 50-point proposal that they have. So first you have to get the two houses of the legislature to agree on what to do. And then you have to get Evers involved in that. And so far there's just no one's agreeing on anything.
So as part of this 50-point sprawling proposal from the Assembly Republicans, one of the issues here is vaccine rollout and to give the legislature's Joint Finance Committee veto power over how vaccinations will be administered in Wisconsin. What do you see there?
So, one of the complaints of Republicans is that there are certain parts of the coronavirus response plan that the governor has full control of. They say they should have a voice in that. I mean, I would say a counterpoint to that is that the governor says that the Republicans in the legislature keep putting up roadblocks to things he wants to do. But the Republicans in the assembly want to have a say in how any vaccine is distributed, you know, who gets it first, when they get it. And a very important point to them is whether it's a mandate that you have to take it. They want to prevent any kind of requirement that people take it, and they want to curb the power of local health officials to be able to order people to take it.
So running through Joint Finance, I mean, this is the state's most partisan legislative body. Could that ultimately lead to some serious gridlock amid a public health crisis?
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I would say the Joint Finance Committee is a partisan entity, but it's as partisan as every other entity connected to the legislature.
Okay.
What it is incredibly powerful. So yeah, you have the danger of gridlock there, but just like you do in any kind of relationship between a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. I mean, if you're worried about gridlock, if people are worried about gridlock, that is what we have right now.
A part of this plan is basically requiring schools to get back in-person instruction by the end of January, requiring most state employees to return to their workplace. What do you see that VOS is trying to put in place for education?
So this is another part of the provision that is, sort of a red line for the governor and something that schools are just going to absolutely hate. And that is that if there are virtual classes that have been in place since September, if more than half of the school time has been virtual, the schools would have to refund parents money. So they'd have to pay $370 for each child in that school. You know, that's going to quickly add up to many millions of dollars in places like Milwaukee and Madison, which have had entirely virtual classes for the school year. And so, you know, it would be all but impossible for them to come up with that money. Or, you know, if they came up with that money, they would have to do, layoffs and all kinds of things that are not going to be very popular. So that's an issue that is going to be very hard to see how they could get the governor to go along with. But in general, the Republican plan would have us get back as much to normal life as quickly as possible. And so by the end of January, all schools would have to be back in session in class, in-person classes, with very few exceptions or very high bars for making that not happen. And all state workers would have to be, almost all, I think there's an exception for the UW, would have to be back at their job, unless they have a note from a doctor that doesn't allow them to be on the job.
We're talking with Patrick Marley, state politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's breaking down COVID response proposal by Speaker Robin Voss and Assembly Republicans with your insights as well at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Chris, who's joining us from Port Wing this morning. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. Thanks for this program. It seems that Mr. Voss, who's been AOL for months on this pandemic, absent without leave, decided to come back and throw his spaghetti at the wall to see what would stick. These ideas that you're going to limit the ability for local school districts to determine the best decisions that they can make for their school district. They're going to limit that, and they're going to force teachers back into the classroom regardless of the health situation is physical murder. It's suicide for the teachers if they go back. And what we've learned over time is that if we follow the logical health protocols, the cases go down. This is happening right now. Mr. Voss and the Supreme Court tied the hands of the governor as far as doing logical public health response. Now we're seeing him come in and try and force people to go into what physically will be a potential death threat. This is insane.
Okay, what, Chris, go ahead with your question.
Pardon me?
Yeah, do you have a question you would like to ask?
Yeah, we make comments too. But the question is, what does he think the viability of this 16-point plan is? It seemed like just the opposite of logical public health.
Okay, thanks so much for that. And what do you say, Patrick, here about any of these proposals going forward and specifically on education?
So, I mean, I would say that Voss would say he put this plan forward because he thinks all aspects of it are great. But it does have the appearance of also being a negotiating position, which we often see in legislative deliberations, that one side puts forward a plan that has some provisions they know the other side could never tolerate. The other side does a counterpoint with the equivalent and opposite points that they know the other party wouldn't like, and then they narrow it down. Now, we don't really have the two plans, I would not say, are in that same category, because there are a number of, there's just a lot more provisions in Voss's plan. But Just because that's what he put forward initially doesn't mean that's what he would agree to vote on in the end. It looks a little more like you'd see in a budget negotiation than in a public health negotiation. But although Voss has defended all these aspects, he has not said this is a bottom line and he won't accept anything but this particular plan.
How would the assembly plan address the backlog in unemployment claims?
So it would essentially force the Department of Workforce Development, the agency that oversees unemployment, to get on top of that. It would leave some of the specifics to the department, but the department would have to present those to the Joint Finance Committee. The Joint Finance Committee could modify that and then keep its feet to the fire, in even to the point where if the backlog wasn't fixed by certain points, they could reduce the pay of the Secretary of Workforce Development and other top officials in the agency.
Has there been any legs on this before? I mean, certainly the backlog has been going on for months. We've seen a huge expansion of the number of employees. What more can be done?
So, I mean, the backlog continues to persist. It's actually the most gains they seem to have made recently are because of a Google relationship they have that has helped them weed out some of the claims that are easier to fix and identify those so that they can move through those. As to how they're going to get the rest of them, I'm not familiar with their specific plans. They are more optimistic now. There has been a lot of frustration from Republicans in the legislature. There's been some frustration from Democrats in the legislature because this problem has persisted for a very long time. We haven't seen a legislative response so far to, anything put in action to bring that backlog down.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Patrick Marley is state politics reporter. We're discussing measures that Republican leaders have put forth in the pandemic. 800-642-1234. Still time to talk. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Patrick Marley, who covers state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Assembly Speaker Voss put forth a $100 million plan last week to address the COVID crisis. It is the first detailed plan from Republicans in more than 7 months since the legislature last month. We're breaking it down with you. Patrick, let's look at businesses. The package extends liability protection for businesses. What does this mean in practice, and how does this relate to the crisis?
So this is something that Republicans, both at the state and national level, have been very interested in from early on. They're worried about, businesses trying to do what they can to protect customers and their employees, and then finding themselves that people get sick and that they get sued. And so they want to offer liability protection to businesses, to school districts, to local government agencies. So this is pretty broad liability protection that would be offered. This is something Democrats generally oppose pretty strongly. They say, look, if a meatpacking plant isn't putting in together enough protections and its workers or customers get sick, and somebody should be able to bring forward a lawsuit and have a judge decide whether they endanger those people unnecessarily.
Okay. And then so the Republican lawmakers had opposed stay-at-home orders. I mean, speaking of the courts, how does the assembly plan regulate local government's ability to issue COVID-19 restrictions or orders?
So that's one thing that we've had in this fight over COVID is that Republicans have said it should be left to local governments to decide things like stay-at-home orders and sort of how the best response would come at the local level as to whatever restrictions are put on people. And they fought the governor on that, on any sort of statewide orders. Now they want to also peel back the authority of the local governments. So for instance, they want to say that if a local government shuts businesses, they have to treat all businesses the same way. They would not be able to say bars have to close, but gift shops can stay open. They would have to, if you're closing one type of business, you would have to close all type of businesses. And then I think I mentioned earlier that the local health officials, who have very broad powers under state law would not be able to do things like mandate vaccines. So they want to curb the power of local officials to some extent here.
And so that, like you mentioned, is kind of going against the autonomy that local governments could have in order to react to COVID economic fallout and, the spread of the virus at the local level.
Yeah, they have previously said that they support letting, for instance, mask mandates being put in place by local versus the state government. Or, business closures put in by the local government, but not the state government. And they have complained about some local orders. For instance, they have not liked what they've done in Dane County. Around mm-hmm. Thanksgiving time. They didn't like Racine's restrictions on school closures that affected not just public schools, but private schools. So there has been some grousing about that. But in general, they have said, we don't want the state to take action. We want to let that authority lie with the local government. Now, increasingly, they're showing resistance to the local governments having authority as well.
Speaking of masks, any indication in this plan about mask wearing?
No, I don't believe this plan has anything specific to mask wearing. Now, of course, the Republicans are on record in court saying that there should not be a mask mandate that the governor has put in place, that they believe the mask requirement that's stayed in place is something that they should have a say in, that they should get approval of that. And simultaneously, they've said they would not approve that. So they absolutely do not want a mask requirement.
Patrick Marley covers state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's our guide to COVID-era politics and proposals going forward from Republicans in the Assembly. So, Patrick, when you look at this sprawling 50-point plan, how does this plan, what are the costs of it? How would it affect the state budget?
So it's more modern than the governor's plan. The governor's plan would be $541 million for the first part of 2021, which is a substantial sum of money. Voss's plan would put about $100 million toward COVID response. Much of that would go into increasing the number of contact tracers and other sort of frontline COVID response folks. But it would also force the Evers administration to cut back spending by about $300 million in other parts of the budget. So it actually improves the budget scene from a balance sheet standpoint, because you'd have this offsetting reduction that is three times as big as how much you're spending on COVID-19.
Okay, so going forward here, Governor Evers had met with State Senator Devin LeMahieu and Assembly Speaker Voss on November 20th. Are there any upcoming meetings scheduled, as you know?
So they talked a couple of times last week as well. When Voss put forward this plan, I guess he didn't present it to the other two, but he provided them this 23-page detailed summary of the plan to let them absorb it. And then I'm not sure if they've met since then. They were making plans to meet. So if they have not met yet, they are meeting again soon, to sort of see where they all are, but we haven't seen anyone, at least in their public pronouncements, open to the other sides, other than Devin LeMahieu from the Senate. He's the incoming majority leader. When I spoke to him, he said that he liked aspects of Voss's plans, hadn't studied much of it because there's a lot in it, and that he really felt like there was a danger of getting bogged down in all the details because of how expansive it is. Mm-hmm. And that's why he wants this simpler plan of just going forward to the budget committee and sort of having them deal with an initial measure right away.
Okay, I want to switch gears here to President Trump's campaign had filed two lawsuits in an effort to overturn election results in our state, and the state Supreme Court declined to hear the first lawsuit. What about the second one?
So the second lawsuit was before a federal judge in Milwaukee, and he held a hearing last week and expressed some pretty significant skepticism to what the president was asking, called aspects of it really bizarre, was a direct quote that he'd stated. And he'll have another hearing this week, I think on Thursday. With the electors meeting in a little over a week, they meet a week from tomorrow. These cases really have to get resolved. In addition to the case that the state Supreme Court declined to take, right after that happened, the president filed a new lawsuit in state court, because what the Supreme Court said was you shouldn't be starting with us. You can start in the lower courts if you want. So he filed a new lawsuit after that order, just hours later. That's gone to a judge, a reserve judge from Racine County, who heard it in an initial hearing on Friday. And he has scheduled a hearing for late this week. Again, that case is going to have to be on a fast track because the College of Electors meets so soon.
So, Patrick, as the year ends, what are you taking away from covering Wisconsin politics this year?
Well, I mean, what a year, right? Like, it was the year that lasted a decade. everything politically, you know, you go back to Act 10, you go back to past presidential elections, you know, other than the Obama elections, we were like an incredibly close state. 2020 was, again, further proof of that. You know, Biden won by 21,000 votes, which is about the same margin Trump won by 4 years earlier. We're going to have a governor's race here in 2 years. You know, we're going to have a U.S. Senate race. Whether Ron Johnson runs again or not, we don't know what the shape of that race is going to be like. But we are going to be, you know, continue to be a divided state with very close elections and very strong passions on both sides.
Well, Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Patrick Marley is a state politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been covering Wisconsin state legislation and politics since 2004. Just ahead, pandemic fatigue is when worrying about the coronavirus and taking precautions becomes too overwhelming. We discuss how to recognize it and stay safe as COVID infections rise in the Midwest. Do you feel you have COVID fatigue? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.